Welcome to Bruderhof Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Zimmerman. For all the coverage it received in the mainstream media, it's hard to imagine a bigger farce than last year's Y2K bug. Hard on the heels of Monica Lewinsky, this particular round of needless talk seemed an appropriate end to a decade where politics and porn fused more successfully on American TV than ever. Still, the need for infotainment, as it is called, does not appear to be dissipating. So far this year, the biggest splash in international news came in early February when Austria's newly elected coalition government took power. Following a failed attempt to unite with the Liberal Social Democratic Party, the Conservative People's Party invited the right-wing Freedom Party to form a ruling coalition. It was this party and its leader Jörg Haider that thrust an otherwise routine exchange of power into the international spotlight. Within days, the other 14 nations of the European Union froze bilateral ties with Austria, and Israel withdrew its ambassador. Thousands of Austrians hit the streets in protest of the new government, and Haider's face appeared on the front of every magazine and newspaper across Europe. In general, these actions were considered a response to the Freedom Party's well-publicized support of popular nationalist and anti-immigration sentiments. In addition, Haider himself had made comments on several occasions praising Adolf Hitler's, quote, sound employment policies and even going so far as to defend the efficiency of Nazi stormtroopers. Since then, Haider has both admitted to and apologized for these remarks. Still, it's difficult to view the overwhelming reaction of the international community without some latent skepticism. While Haider must be held accountable for his personal statements, the world press, in covering these events, has failed to examine general European xenophobia and anti-immigration policies with the same harsh light that Austria is now subjected to. Today, on Bruderhof Radio, we examine the sincerity of Europe's reaction to Austria. Quite apart from Haider's anti-immigration posturing, it is essential that European nations, which now take the moral high ground, come to terms with their own troubled history of racism and xenophobia. Yosef Livni, a high-ranking Israeli diplomat, explains the dilemma his government faced in responding to Austria's new government.
As you all know, the State of Israel came into existence barely 3 years after the defeat of Nazi Germany. As the world and Israel learned of the horrible nightmare that was the Holocaust, so did our commitment to fight the struggle against anti-Semitism become more solid. The fate instills in us the determination to stand firm against all displays of xenophobia and anti-Semitism. Consequently, we cannot and indeed will not acquiesce when someone, anyone, anywhere, attempts to belittle the horrors or those who perpetrated them. Equally, we shall not turn a blind eye when such political forces are considered legitimate allies. We have no desire to intervene in the internal affairs of other countries. And yet, the lessons of the past serve as our guiding light. We believe that the inclusion of extremist right-wing elements in government legitimizes them, and this is something we cannot agree to.
Israel's stance is understandable, given Europe's history of anti-Semitism. But was the European Union justified in freezing relations with Austria? While American and European mass media have, over the past months, trumpeted the, quote, return of Austrian fascism, Dr. Harold Miltner, the Austrian Consul General in New York City, says that such a judgment is premature. He argues that the response to Haider has been overly harsh.
There will be no return to fascism in Austria. There are no fascist parties in Austria. There are no fascist politicians in Austria. Fascism came to its end in Austria in 1945, and after that, we introduced very strict legislation forbidding any kind of revival of fascism, and this legislation has been applied over the years. I didn't come up here to defend Haider in any way, but I want to make one thing clear. Austria 2000 is not Austria in 1938, or in the years between 1938 and 1945. So to compare today's situation to what has happened between 38 and 45, I believe would do enormous injustice to those people who suffered through the years of 38 to 45. You should go to Austria and see what is happening there. It is a democracy, and it is a working democracy. Of course, some people support Haider's party for various reasons, but even his party cannot be put into the same group as those people who are responsible for what happened between 38 and 45.
An Austrian by birth, Professor Karen Andriolo teaches at the State University of New York. She says that while the censure of Austria may be warranted, the problem of xenophobic right-wing parties extends beyond Austria to many other European countries. The European Union, she says, has no right to judge Austria when right-wing parties in Denmark and Switzerland hold 15 to 20% of parliamentary seats.
The question which I am interested in broaching here is the question of the European Union sanctions towards Austria and the world reaction towards Austria in this issue. And the main question that people have asked, was it an overreaction or not? And I would like to give you my takes on this. I think it is an overreaction, and it creates problems. However, I also think that one must not brush it off and commit underreaction. In contrast, I think that it is a justifiable wake-up call for Austria, and I hope Austria takes it in the spirit, and that it also means the European Union will have new interesting issues and tasks to face that are being hinted at by this issue. Let me first make some explanations with respect to what I consider overreactions. Overreaction in the sense of that Austria is not the only bad guy out there, that the right-wing populism that I think is clearly expressed by the votes that Haider and the Freedom Party received, that this right-wing populism is not exclusive to Austria. That the deep antipathy to ethnic diversity is something which we find in other European countries as well. Another overreaction, I think, is that Haider is Hitler. Well, Haider is not Hitler, but it's bad enough that he's Haider, I think. Another overreaction that has been pointed out by many people who commented on the situation, intellectuals, students of the European situation, people who are not Austrians, is that it smells of hypocrisy, that the European Union has not always occupied the high moral ground so quickly and so intensely.
Hans-Georg Betz has written a number of books on the rise of right-wing parties in Europe. Betz, a German citizen who teaches European studies at New York University, has followed the story of Haider's Freedom Party closely. According to Betz, Haider's appeal is not much different from that of fringe parties elsewhere in Europe or America. Despite Austria's low unemployment and high standard of living, Haider's rhetoric drew voters seeking an alternative.
Radical right-wing parties have been very successful, not only in Europe, but also in other parts of the world, in Canada, for example. If you go into Pat Buchanan's website, you see America First. It's not an Austrian phenomenon. It's a phenomenon of advanced industrial societies, which are in a transition to a new kind of information-based post-industrial society. Now, the question is, what are we trying to explain? Are we trying to explain why people vote for somebody like Haider? It's very simple. They vote because they don't like immigrants. Nobody in Europe likes immigrants. As a matter of fact, nobody in any country likes immigrants, including places like India, Australia, or Canada. Secondly, a lot of governments are seen as non-responsive to the citizens, and if you're following what Bush and what Gore are doing these days, I mean, there are some very good reasons why people don't think the governments are responding to them. There's a general malaise, which is particularly bad in Europe, because unemployment is very high, because people are scared of globalization and in the information technology, and because you're afraid of open trade and all of these things which they entail. Now, the question for me is not really what explains why these people vote for Haider. It's more why not everybody votes for Haider, quite frankly. But it is why Haider is saying certain things. Why is Haider actually saying that the Waffen-SS people are kind of respectable people? And I think there are some very good reasons for that, which have a lot to do with the hypocrisies which exist not only in Austria, but also in Austria and in other countries in Western Europe, which have never really dealt with the fact that they were deeply implicated in the crimes of the Second World War. And that's not just the Austrians. That also includes the French. Mitterrand, President François Mitterrand, had a very close friend who was a war criminal, and he held loyal to him until his death. It has a lot in Belgium. The Flemish part of Belgium has never come to terms with the collaboration they did with the Nazis. In Italy, there are some very dubious statements when it comes to fascism. In Germany, there's a lot of people who would say to you, well, after 45 years, we should not talk about these things any longer, let's go on. Now, in Austria, a lot of these things were particularly bad. They were particularly bad because the Austrians in 1943 were told they were the first victims of Hitler, and therefore they didn't have to really face the fact that a lot of Austrians were involved in the Nazi crimes. After the war, they were a neutral country which was coddled by both the Soviets and the United States, and again they didn't have to deal with the fact what they had done during the Second World War. And so in Austria there was never any kind of confrontation with the past. Now, I don't want to condone what he says, but in a sense I do understand it, and I understand it because I know, being a German, lot of my country people, and I understand basically how they feel about